I'm Steven Scalzo, and this is The Way. Welcome to the April 2022 This Is The Way podcast Star Wars News Update. This is episode 67 of the podcast, which means our last episode was episode 66, and I cannot believe I squandered that opportunity to invoke Palpatine. Maybe it was because the Obi-Wan Kenobi series teaser trailer had just debuted at the time, and I was busy. But there's no good excuse for bad planning. Back then, of course, we thought we were getting Obi-Wan Kenobi on the big May 25th anniversary. You probably already know about the delay. Yeah, it's only by a couple of days, from Wednesday to Friday of that week, the 27th. And as Ewan McGregor told us all on social media at the end of March, there will be two episodes dropping that first day. It's Star Wars Celebration Weekend in Anaheim, California. Content creators are going to be busy that weekend.
Hello there. Come here, my little friend. Don't be afraid.
I don't know. I mean, everything I do, I just want to, like, I want to tell people about Star Wars. I want to make Star Wars cookies. I want to make speeches about Star Wars. I want to make ice cubes in the shape of Star Wars characters.
Now it's time to update you on Star Wars news since the last news update podcast. Star Wars Celebration will be the source of many reveals, it seems. We will not be attending. Well, I will not be attending. Though I do hope someday to go and meet some of the other fans and podcasters that I've become acquainted with through this show. All sorts of news and trailers and reveals tend to happen at these cons. Since breaking away from the San Diego Comic-Con a few years back, Star Wars Celebration is the place to go for fan interaction in a galaxy far, far away. This celebration will take place from May 26th to the 29th. Day 1, May 26th, might be the most noteworthy. The delay of OBK from the 25th seemed unusual at first, and yeah, I'm trying the initials out there to see how it feels. Now, Disney and Lucasfilm will get a little more bang for their marketing buck. They've already spent a lot putting on the celebration. Honestly, I don't think they need to worry about selling this show, but Star Wars Celebration's Twitter account called the May 26th stage event must see, with special guests coming to the stage to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, and The Mandalorian Season 3. And those are just the announced ones. Now, the last two, Andor and The Mandalorian, don't have official release dates or trailers, but more on that later in the episode. On May 26th, Disney can set up and knock down so many pins all at once. OBK will debut the two episodes during day two of the con on Disney Plus. But I wonder if Celebration attendees will get screenings on the 26th. It's my understanding that all subsequent episode releases of Obi-Wan Kenobi will come on Wednesdays, since the original release was scheduled for Wednesday. But I imagine that will also be made clear on the 26th. This is the Way Phase 4 podcast reports that the Miss Marvel series starts June 8th on Disney+. That means there will be some Lucasfilm and Marvel Studios overlap. If there are six episodes of Obi-Wan and they all released on Wednesdays, starting with the 25th, they would finish on June 29th. Since the 27th will have two episodes on one day, the new final episode airing might be the 22nd of June. Again, details will probably be made clear at Star Wars Celebration 2022. I have an update for a story originally posted on StarWarsNews.net at the end of March. The writers for all six episodes of the Obi-Wan series have been credited via the Writers Guild of America website. Episode 1's teleplay is by Joby Harold and Hossein Amini and Stuart Beatty. The story is by Stuart Beatty and Hossein Amini. Episode 2's teleplay is by Joby Harold by himself. Story again by Stuart Beatty and Hossein Amini. Episode 3 will be written by Joby Harold and Hannah Friedman and Hossein Amini and Stuart Beattie. Episode 4 is written by Joby Harold and Hannah Friedman. Episode 5 written by Joby Harold and Andrew Stanton. And Episode 6 credits are Teleplay by Joby Harold and Andrew Stanton and Hossein Amini. The story by Stuart Beattie and Joby Harold and Andrew Stanton. I know, that's a lot. Now, listen. Based on my reading of crediting rules for the WGA on that same website, it looks to me like episodes 3, 4, and 5 had the most reworking done. I'm basing that on the teleplay and story by credits. A teleplay by credit is used when there is source material of a story nature, or when the writer or writers entitled to story by credit are different than the writer or writers entitled to teleplay by credit. A story, according to the WGA, consists of a basic narrative, idea, theme, or outline indicating character development and action, and you'll see that credit under a few different circumstances, but the one I think applies here is when the teleplay is based upon a sequel story written under the guild's jurisdiction. There was a note in the article on SWNN I thought was appropriate. Hossein Amini had written 6 episodes without including Vader. Now that's interesting, since that would be the first place I would go if you told me there's a story to tell about Obi-Wan in between episodes 3 and 4 of the saga. If for no other reason, then you get to be the one who gets to write one of the last meetings between the two Jedi who were close as brothers and then, you know, had that famous duel in A New Hope. Those original 6 episodes that Amini wrote seem to me to be the reason for the inclusion of teleplay and story credits. That means episodes 1, 2, and 6 still have Amini's name on them prominently, so they may bear the most similarity to his original work on the project. And yes, I know he's also in another one, I think it was 3. He was credited as written by, so maybe there's some parts of episode 3 that also have his fingerprint on it. SWNN reporter Miguel Fernandez posted the story back on March 31st when the WGA site had only 5 episodes, which seemed to contradict what we had been told about there being 6. But as of my last check, the site now contains all 6. In other reports from SWNN sources, it appears that we will see Anchorhead and the droid bounty hunter Forlom. Anchorhead may have already been featured in the trailer, and using a bounty hunter from the Rogues Gallery on Vader's ship in Empire makes sense from a nostalgia standpoint.
No disintegrations.
The Mandalorian wrapped production toward the end of March on Season 3, which means now post-production can start and, if needed, reshoots. It was curious that the news seemed to break from a costumer, but it was also later confirmed by Greef Karga himself, actor and director Carl Weathers. Now, I think maybe all of the people involved in the production get to put their name in the hat. Like, you're the one that gets to break it on Twitter, and like, if you win this, you know, prize, then you get to be the one who gets the big bump in your Twitter following. You know, I don't know. It just seems weird that the costumer was the one that was allowed to break it without, you know, any consequences. Or maybe she does have some consequences. I don't know.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
Giancarlo Esposito, or Moff Gideon, is making interview rounds for some of his other projects, including Better Call Saul, great show. He may have just thrown a thermal detonator into our plans for the year. On the Rich Eisen show, and a clip was posted on the show's YouTube channel on April 10th, so you can go look.
I believe it'll be sometime this summer. No date set yet, but coming soon.
Esposito mentioned that he has a little left to do for his role on The Mandalorian that he'll have to go back for, but he said this summer. If true, that probably puts season 3 ahead of Andor's season 1. Now, I think instead it might just be ready, but the release might simply be around Christmas time, because I don't see why they would want to overlap shows at all, and I don't see why you would want to release The Mandalorian Season 3 in the summer. No announcements have been made, but the end of May sure sounds like it's going to be a wild one.
It's a trap!
Just think of all the reveals we're going to get. As if there wasn't enough, a week after our March news update, so a few weeks back, we learned Christopher Lloyd is joining the cast in an undisclosed role. My opinion? I see him as a robotics expert that might create a special set of armor for someone. Maybe one of those dark troopers from episode 16 gets turned into a mech suit of some kind. The news happened so far back. It seems like everyone already knows about this little tidbit, but we're gonna see the man who played Doc Brown from Back to the Future take on a role in the Star Wars universe. This will set all sorts of shared universe fanfiction in motion.
Great Scott!
An end of March article by The Hollywood Reporter says two of my favorite series on Disney Plus are the leaders when it comes to viewership on the streaming service. Loki seems to have the highest average viewing time, but that's most likely due to it only having 6 episodes. And it's still an accomplishment. However, The Mandalorian Seasons 1 and 2 combined blow the rest of the competition away. Season 1 beats every other show out there except for Season 2 of The Mandalorian, which almost doubled about half the shows that have made Nielsen's top 10 streaming list from Disney+. Let me just read this part of THR's article, which I think points out that Star Wars and Marvel shows, you know, the ones I cover for my podcast, This Is the Way and This Is the Way Phase 4, are the only real draws on which the streaming service can rely. Those 8 shows, The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, The Bad Batch, WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, Hawkeye, are the only Disney Plus series to make Nielsen's streaming top 10 service in the service's history, which is admittedly only, 2.5 years old. None of Disney Plus's other original series, none. Among them, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, Big Shot, The Mighty Ducks Game Changers. None of them has had the drawing power of Star Wars and Marvel. None of the Marvel shows has topped either Mandalorian season in terms of total viewing time, although, as I mentioned, Loki came close during its first season in June and July. Now, the article also supposes that Obi-Wan Kenobi, Moon Knight, and Ms. Marvel will likely be the strongest performers for Disney Plus in this quarter. I think we have plenty of evidence to suggest that's correct.
Yeah. Good.
The Book of Boba Fett appears to be joining the ranks of the one and done, though it wasn't heralded as a limited series. I think many people assumed that the door would be left open for a second season, but now it seems there are no further plans. The show ended up being produced and released before season 3 of The Mandalorian even began principal production. I wonder now, what will Disney do with Fennec Shand and Boba Fett? And is season 3 of The Mandalorian, is that the last we're going to see of Ming-Na Wen and Temuera Morrison in Star Wars? For that matter, what's going to happen to Din Djarin and Grogu? Grogu is the moneymaker. None of those characters appeared in the sequel trilogy, but of those 4 characters I just mentioned, yeah, Baby Yoda is the one that Disney can least afford to let go.
Okay, then.
Before we send Boba Fett off, I think it's worth mentioning a second volume of the Book of Boba Fett soundtrack is available on Spotify. Now, despite the first volume being focused on the first 4 episodes and the second on the last 3, there are 3 bonus tracks in Volume 2 from the first half of the season. Hit It Max, the aptly named tune from Episode 4 when Garza Fwip tells Max Rebo to, you know, hit it. Train Heist, a piece from Episode 2 when Boba Fett topples the train for the Tusken tribe. And The Bonfire from the same episode, which is the dance that the tribe helps him learn or does with him at the end of Episode 2. One of my current listening favorites is the Renfair-inspired A Town at Peace from the end of Episode 7 when Fett and Shand are walking through town as heroes. Until the end of May, when Maestro John Williams graces us with new works for Obi-Wan Kenobi, we will have to satisfy ourselves with old tracks. Fortunately, the old ones are pretty fantastic. The next Star Wars live-action streaming series after Obi-Wan should be Andor, but I imagine it's going to depend on whether Season 3 of The Mandalorian is indeed coming out this year, and whether it will come before or after, you know, summer or winter. We may find out for sure on May 26th, that big stage day at Star Wars Celebration. I think the likely release date for the show will be September 7th, since there are 12 episodes, and that would take the show into November, which is a sweeps month. So that Wednesday, September 7th, first episode would then translate to a day before Thanksgiving final episode on the 23rd. That's just me looking at a calendar, though. Some places have rumored a mid-August start, so that the show can wrap up closer to Disney Plus Day, which would be on a Saturday this year. So far, though, our only look at the show has been behind-the-scenes footage. But with the panel coming up at Celebration, I think it's likely we see at least our first teaser trailer for the show debut May 26th. That would then mean a December debut for Season 3 of The Mandalorian. Whatever the order, I just can't see Disney's gonna overlap with Andor.
He's taking us to...
Quiet! And there's a fresh one if you mouth off again.
We'll take them from here.
Ahsoka is finally in production, but if you've been hoping to see Rosario Dawson face off against Ray Park based on some leaked set photo, you may be out of luck. Now, just because the photo is a fake, doesn't mean Darth Maul can't be in the show. But the supposed timeline of the show made that kind of a thing dubious anyway. Ahsoka won't likely be ready to stream until 2023.
Hello there! I'm Miri, a member of the Galactic Society of Creature Enthusiasts.
What is ready right now is a new series of shorts on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel called Galactic Pals. That seems to be a spinoff of the other web series Galaxy of Creatures from last year, 2021. Along with a trailer and two episodes already available, Mattel will be selling plush dolls. Based on that merchandise, it looks like there will be a Rodian and Jawa episode to go with the ones already available for Ewoks and Wookiees.
They're quite furry.
You know, maybe Star Wars Celebration will also provide an update on The Bad Batch Season 2. We already know we're getting a time jump, which will be interesting for the show. It seemed to be built to bridge gaps between Order 66 and the formation of the Rebellion. Omega is going to age a little bit, and likely so will Clone Force 99. If you remember from Rebels, Rex goes from spry to almost Santa-like, so it will be interesting to hear if Dee Bradley Baker ages up voices for Hunter, Echo, Wrecker, and Tick, and Crosshair. There are some people on Twitter saying that the show will be ready this year, and this summer. And then there's others who say it will be held until next year. So, we don't know because we have no sources inside. What about Star Wars Visions? Well, there's still no official word on Season 2, but I hope that we get some confirmation just like for The Bad Batch in Celebration. Still, several Twitter accounts have been making claims lately that it's going to be ready this autumn. We haven't seen any news on social media from any of the previously involved studios that released work for the first season. Now, maybe there's work being done behind the scenes. It's also possible that returning studios are just keeping quiet. Maybe some continuations of stories from some of the season one surprises are indeed coming in season two. You know, if there's a season two. I think most people would like to see more from the Ronin featured in the duel. More story involving the Ninth Jedi? Perhaps a continuation of The Village Bride? Now, I reported a while back that that episode was submitted for consideration at the Academy Awards, but at least at this time, I didn't see any nomination anywhere for the show.
And the Oscar goes to...
It certainly didn't win, and I do have an Oscars note, though, and it's not about the slap. Troy Kotsur's win for Coda is to be celebrated for many reasons, since he's a deaf actor, but... hey, he's a Star Wars fan as well. He's also the man responsible for creating the Tusken Raiders sign language, first seen in The Mandalorian Season 1 Episode 5, The Gunslinger. In fact, I think it was Troy Kotsur in costume for that role. Congratulations to Mr. Kotsur for the win, and thank you for your contributions to Star Wars.
Thank you.
Wow. Every year I never think I'm going to win.
More congratulations are in order north of the border. Paul Sun Hyung Lee received the Canadian Screen Award for Best Lead Actor in a Comedy as the iconic Appa in Kim's Convenience. He's one of our absolute favorites. He's Captain Carson Teva. He's a Twitter follower of ours, an avid cosplayer, memorabilia collector, and a content creator for a community of like-minded fans. He's a great streamer as well with his Bitter Asian Dude YouTube channel. He features shows like Fun Boxing Sundays, live streams, and interviews and watch-alongs with some of his friends. You can subscribe to his channel and also now join for an optional additional monthly fee and become either a Bitter Brigade Lieutenant or Commander to have access to members-only live chats and polls, and I imagine more in the future.
And so I just want to say congratulations to all my fellow nominees for this. Appa, this is for you. I'm dedicating this to you because you made me who I am. And thank you so much. I'm so proud of you. And yeah, we did it. Okay, see you.
Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga is now available for purchase. And shockingly, I have not had time to purchase it yet. Well, I know. I wanted to be playing day one. I said I was going to, and I'm going to have to wait. U.S. economy's suffering a bit. Rising gas prices, and as a result, increased prices for goods and services. This is a luxury purchase, and it's not the wisest family decision right now. Now, if it was just that, maybe I'd justify the purchase for mental health reasons, but considering I haven't even installed Jedi Fallen Order yet, let alone play it, you know, maybe I should use what I already have before looking for something new.
I don't know. Why? Classic.
Speaking of Fallen Order, the sequel may be getting a trailer reveal at Star Wars Celebration, according to reports citing an insider at the game developer. If there isn't a release date, perhaps we'll get an inkling of the story. It'll most likely follow up the one with Cal Kestis from the 2019 hit game. A while back, I mentioned that The Force Unleashed was getting a release on Nintendo Switch. Now it looks like some of the game's biggest fans might be able to grab an actual physical copy of the game from Aspyr through LimitedRunGames.com. The port seems to be built off a pre-existing Wii version of the game, as old as that system is, and a digital version should be available in the Switch store on April 20th. More game trailer talk, and a non-Star Wars game famous for its intellectual property partnerships may have tried to sneak something by eagle-eyed fans. Kingdom Hearts 4 is under development, and so far through the various installments, other Disney and Square Enix properties, I've got nods, Easter eggs, and playable content in games. Not really Star Wars yet, but freeze framers may have spotted the leg of an AT-ST in a forced scene from the trailer. This is another one of those odd gaps for me. I'm a huge Star Wars fan and a huge Final Fantasy and Disney fan. I've just never played any of the Kingdom Hearts games. Had I grown up with the franchise, it would have been a stone-cold lock I'd be freaking out right now, but I think I just missed it. But I'll keep an eye on this game, especially if we start seeing more concrete details about maybe lightsaber keyblades or something like that.
These action figures are not yet available, but this Star Wars Early Bird certificate package is in stores.
Collectors, I always check in, and there have been some releases from Hasbro, and there's always the chance that more become available before May the 4th or Star Wars Celebration. RC1140 from the Republic Commando game now has a Black Series figure. Fixer is a green and white Delta Squad commando, so if you're a Jets fan, or someone's been looking for that green and white color scheme clone trooper figure, now's your chance to pre-order one. Joining him from the game is RC1207, Sev, who has an unusual red and white painted armor. You can find the links to the GameStop exclusives on StarWarsNews.net. There are some other Hasbro releases I saw coming on SWNN that have me excited as well. A version of Luke from Season 2, Episode 16 of The Mandalorian. Yes, the green lightsaber-wielding, dark trooper-dismantling, cloak-uncovering, grown-men-crying version that showed up to save the day. Also in the reveal was Grogu in the floating pod, one of those dark troopers, Miggs Mayfeld, an artillery trooper from Tython, and a Clatoonian raider. They were all revealed to be in the pipeline by Hasbro. In the pipeline means they're not just an idea, they're being produced and readied for release. There are also vintage series releases for Figrin Dan, the leader of the Cantina Band in A New Hope, an airborne Deathwatch trooper, and a Mandalorian Super Commando captain, complete with a Darth Maul-inspired red-horned helmet. A vintage Death Trooper collection with four figures in one box, a Battlefront 2 version of Lando Calrissian modeled after Donald Glover, and a vintage Expanded Universe version of Shay Visla. I think there were some figures at least announced last year, like Heir to the Empire Luke, Jackson, and pre-Disney comic versions of Darth Maul and Carnor Jax. The Luke and Maul figures make sense to me. You know, you've already done away with those storylines in canon. But for characters who haven't appeared, making an EU figure signals to me that Disney is not going to use them in the future at all. I don't feel now like Shay Visla is a possibility moving forward, which despite the original incarnation coming centuries before the Skywalker saga, I could have seen that being used in Season 3 of The Mandalorian in some way. I don't mind the story group pulling ideas out of the EU. I really don't. Once you put it in canon, or in the show, Mandalorian, or the Book of Boba Fett, it's canon. Until then, it's not. They're dead properties. There are some other releases of note featured by SWNN, including comic adaption versions of Leia, an all-white Infinities version of Darth Vader in the Black Series. And when I say all-white, I mean almost completely white, like an unpainted version. Just some buttons, his visor, eye coverings, and his lightsaber have color. There's a Rogue One version of Saw Gerrera as portrayed by Forrest Whitaker, and a Clone Wars version of the face-tattooed ARC trooper, Jesse. And they're all available for pre-order, and yes, Jesse has a removable helmet so you can see his face tattoo. Last on my collector's items list, though, how about owning Trapper Wolf's helmet? Like, a real helmet. Why would I want this? Well, probably wouldn't fit my head. But listen to the features. A highly detailed Deco Series inspired design, interior padding, electronic lights, and sound effects inspired by both the attack of Ranzar Malk's space station and the pursuit of the Mandalorian's Razor Crest. It also includes three internal speakers, which create an immersive surround sound experience while synchronized LED lights inside the visor simulate sounds, as well as a communication from Carson Teva. If I can find one and try it on and it fits my head, I think I'm going to get it.
Just one more thing. I need you to send us a ping.
This is the place where I usually talk Disney Parks news, and lately it's been mostly about Galactic Star Cruiser. Today, I'm going to add another YouTube review to the shortlist I had for you last month. The Tim Tracker just put out a video on April 10th called Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Checkout Day, Porg Detection Mission, Q&A, and Our Final Thoughts. Tim and Jen wrap up a series, which you can find links to the rest of the videos in the series in the show notes, and some of their other videos as well. The part most helpful, I think, might be their Q&A section and final thoughts. But the advice I think stood out for me was about the wait to check in. They all showed up, Tim, Jen, and their child, in their costumes, in their cosplay costumes, and Tim mentioned how hot it was. Now, keep in mind, this is like March or April. He recommends not showing up in your costume, especially if you know your costume is going to make you sweat. Now, for you non-Floridians, I don't think you realize how hot and sweaty you can get just standing outside in the shade. Even in March. Jen countered, though, it might be one of the few times that you can have your chance to take a picture in front of that concrete sign out front, Galactic Star Cruiser sign. Personally, I feel like your costume is going to end up soaking wet. If your check-in or check-out day is a hot one, and maybe check-out is going to be a better option since you'd be able to go home and then wash your smelly cosplay costume, maybe you don't wear it to show up, maybe you wear it on your way out. You can check out the Tim Tracker's full video for more tips from the Disney park goers. And if you do, you can leave a comment in the section that says, "We sent you there."
I think we can let him off with a warning this time.
That's all for today, so if you think we've missed something, check out our other monthly updates to make sure we haven't already mentioned it earlier in the year, but you can also just send us a message. Email us, thisisthewaypodcast@gmail.com. Now, I signed up for Linktree, so all our links can now be found in one place. It's linktr.ee/thisisthewaypod. There you'll find our Twitter and Instagram links, @thisisthewaypod, as well as links to our YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. If Marvel shows are more your speed, I have another podcast I produce, and we'll have an episode on Moon Knight's third episode soon. You can find those links at linktr.ee/thewayphase4. You can find those links at linktr.ee/thewayphase4. Thank you so much for joining me for this April 2022 news update. We do have one more news update before Obi-Wan Kenobi starts streaming, and maybe, if I can, a May the 4th special episode. We will try to finish up Visions discussions as we have time, and hopefully I get to them before Season 2 is released. I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo, and this is The Way. May the Force be with you, always.